that theme, right? Of course. Steve Dale's Otherworld on WGN. I was watching some of the YouTube videos of Julia Arnaz Massey, and I noted that, wow, the younger you, Julia, really, really looks like Lucille Ball. And the thing is that, and I could even show you where, if we watch that together, over the, at that point in time, some of the mannerisms are exactly the same, which would be no surprise because of why.
Hi. How you doing, Steve?
I am good. Why, if we watch these videos, and maybe I'll post one when we post the podcast here, and I'll post it on my blog, but when you watch some of the videos, why would it be that the person I'm talking to on the phone now would look like Lucille Ball and kind of act like Lucille Ball?
Maybe it's all in the DNA.
Exactly. And that DNA is that you are the granddaughter of Lucy and Desi, but for the longest time, that wasn't necessarily known publicly. Tell me that story.
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Julia Arnaz, and I'm Desi Jr.'s daughter. A lot of people get it mixed up. So, my father was young, and my mother... was modeling. She was a little older, and they had an affair, and my mother moved me back to Connecticut, and I was basically raised in Connecticut, and Desi was a little just too young to raise, you know, a child, and it was really scandalous back then. He was only 17, so basically, yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we kind of not hit out, but my mother moved back to Connecticut to be with her family, and she really didn't want me being raised in Hollywood, and especially the fact that they weren't married, and she just wanted to raise me on her own, and that's what she did.
She did.
That bless her soul.
And I'm hearing your pet a parrot, I think, in the background.
Yes, that's Oliver. He's her talking bird.
And I love it.
I can't shut him off because he just talks whenever he wants.
That's okay. That's no problem. All right. Did you ever
I
have...
I love a... when he talks. And when he talks, everybody listens.
Right.
He's laughing.
Did you ever have the opportunity, Julia, to meet your father, Desi Arnaz Jr.?
Oh, yes. I'm very close to him. Yeah, when we have a relationship. Yeah, I met him after my DNA was proven, unfortunately, after my grandmother died. I kind of put my own foot down and I advocated for myself, and because I didn't meet him before that. And it was very hard back then in the 80s and the 70s. There wasn't, you know, you don't just get any movie star's number off the in the phone book.
Sure.
And you know, there was no internet or things like that to make things accessible to getting it through to these, you know, celebrities, if you will. And so my mother just kind of rushed it under the rug and raised me the best she could. And then when I was old enough, I took matters into my own hands, and I said I hired a lawyer, and I just wanted to know once and for all with the DNA. We did that with a celebrity lawyer, Raoul Felder, back in 1990, and it came back, you know, that I was 99.97% that I was indeed, you know, Desi Arnaz Jr.'s daughter.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear.
And I'm an Arnaz. Yeah, yeah. Then we start a relationship after that, and he got in contact with me, and that was the best day of my life. And because for so long, you know, I yearned for my dad and watching these people on TV, and, you know, I could see them, but they just couldn't see me. I always just wanted them to see me. So that's the way I was raised. And I knew my whole life who my grandparents were.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it is, as you and I have talked off the air and have gone back and forth on the internet, I knew your grandmother a bit, and you didn't know her at all.
No, I know, right?
Yeah.
I hear that story all the time. I mean, if I had a dollar for somebody that told me that, I'd be rich. But, yeah, really, I've heard that story so often. And, well, what was your interaction again with Lucy?
Well, it's because I was a fan of the show, and at the time I was covering entertainment. And I interviewed her one time, and I said, can I do that again to her secretary, who's still around, and I still communicate with her. Her name is Wanda. And
I know Wanda.
Yep, okay. And she said, okay, so I did it again. And then I did it again. And then Lucy would say, that young man from Chicago seems so nice. And when she came to Chicago, I'd have an opportunity to hang out with her, so to speak. And to the extent that I interviewed her a bunch of times, when she was in Chicago, I would meet with her.
Well, she must have really liked you, Steve.
Well, she was no surprise. I mean, just an incredible person. Very
down
tough.
To earth.
Yeah. It turns out very tough to kind of break through the veneer. But once you do that, she didn't suffer fools. But once you do that.
Suffer fools. I love it.
Yeah. But once you do that, then you kind of made it in. And very loyal to anyone and everyone she trusted. I want
That's
to talk
like
to
me.
You about. Pardon me?
That's something we share.
Is that you as well?
That's just exactly my personality. I really. It takes me a minute to really trust somebody, but once I do, you know, I'm there for life, and I'm a friend for life, and that's just, it's just something, you know, I've always been that way.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
And no, I pride myself on that, so,
but
most
you,
of the time.
So you've had kind of a bumpy road, which we'll talk about when we come back, because I know we'll talk just a bit about domestic violence and how companion animals, our pets, actually make a difference. You need to leave the situation, but how do you do that if there's nowhere to go with the pet? And also, your daughter, Desiree, will talk about all of that and what you're doing, and you are, to make a difference. It's really quite amazing. And to have the courage to step up, to do what you're doing is wonderful. We'll talk about that. Julia Arnaz-Massey, when we come back on WGN.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. We're talking to Julia Arnaz-Massey, the granddaughter of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. I'll tell you, at times it was kind of tough going for you. You and I have talked about domestic violence and how you feel so strongly, Julia, about, yes, leaving that situation, but that's easier said than done. Especially if you want to do it, and of course you do, with the entire family, including members who happen to have four legs or feathers.
Sure. Yeah, this is something I've always thought about, and it's really very disturbing, you know, as we talked about before, and like just any shelter will not take your pets under any circumstances. And there are so many women. Even their children have grown up, and now all they have is their pets, and they've been there, you know, being their anchors, and they're kind of like therapy dogs through the abuse. And they won't leave because they can't. They're so afraid to what will happen to their children who are fur babies.
Well, that's true, and we know through studies that have been done, very often the pet is abused as well. So people don't want to leave because if they leave the pet behind, there's a fear that pet will be abused. And also there are threats from the abuser that if you leave, I'm going to hurt your animal.
That's right.
Yeah.
They really use that as an anchor to keep them there. But not even though the pet is, you know, just yelling can give any animal, dog, cat, or bird, pet, anxiety. So that in itself, I mean, it doesn't have to be physical. It can also be, you know, mental abuse is just as bad.
Actually, that's true. With our, you know, so people think, that's a great point, because people think that you have to hit the dog or cat, and no, just like in human beings, the difference is the dog or cat doesn't know exactly what you're saying, but true enough that we know now through studies that berating, for lack of a better word, a dog or a cat, or, yes, pet parrot, and a pet parrot may in fact understand some of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Really, that actually is abusive and does great mental harm to the animal. And what you're a proponent of are communities finding ways to include companion animals in some way, and maybe that way is the shelter even accepting animals, as well as, of course, your kids with two legs, as well as yourself.
Yeah, and it's even hard to find women's shelter that just a woman's I've just been advocating for my niece, actually, and she just got out of a very traumatizing situation, and we're still dealing with her, and she had to move out, and she can't even find a safe place to go here in Connecticut. So, which really because of, you know, everything going on with the virus and stuff like that, but there are times where there's just not even enough shelters for the women itself.
Exactly, yep.
You know, so I'm just hoping that, you know, we can find more homes, and homes will open their doors for a dog or a cat or just maybe a fur family, you know, along with the abused woman or even man, because men get abused too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, and you know, New York City is doing it right. Actually, they have a couple of buildings that are so pet friendly. They even have a dog park that Purina helped support. So if that could be done in New York, it could be done in Chicago, where I live. We're currently, I believe there are zero beds.
Zero here in Connecticut, yeah. Too, Steve.
Yeah, that's unthinkable, and that needs to change. I want to switch gears a little bit at 2:23 on WGN. Tell me a bit, Julia Arnaz Massey, about your daughter, Desiree.
Desiree was my only child, and a beautiful soul. Loved old music, you know, 60s, 70s, had a spark for life, she loved to do arts and crafts, and she did the piano, and she played the piano, and she made up her own music, and wrote her own music, and she was just a wonderful human being, and she was in college, and she had a lump in her chest and went to the gynecologist, and they had told her that this is that you're too young and just probably a cyst, and, you know, let's see if it goes down. And then she actually went to Italy, and she was still in pain, so she came back and they diagnosed her with breast cancer. So really what the gynecologist told her was, you're too young, like this is, we're not even going to really look into this, because, you know, a lot of tests are done when after you're 35. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the standard thing. You go and you get your breast, you know, do the biopsy, and not the biopsy, the you know, just the thing for the breast. And sorry, I'm not thinking clear. My bird's got coming.
That's okay.
We walk out of the room. You know, you do your tests that you're supposed to do for, you know, to all women should do at 35, and I say even younger. You got to advocate for yourself, because really breast cancer has no age discrimination.
Well, you're talking about a mammogram.
Mammogram, that's
right.
The word. Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
Okay. That's okay.
I said it before you. Yes, it's, you know, mammograms are very important, but, you know, they should be done when girls are even in their 20s, and if you feel something and your body doesn't feel right, you got to advocate for yourself. And so many doctors are like, well, you know, don't worry about it till you're 35. And that's just not so. And it's becoming more and more aggressive, and it's becoming more and more, you know, common these days for younger girls to unfortunately succumb from this disease or fight for it. And Desiree had a double mastectomy and did the chemo, lost her beautiful long black hair. And she also was a model. And then she went into remission. We all were very excited and thankful and hopeful. And then about 2 years later, 3 years later, her cancer came back. It's stage 4.
Mm.
So, and that was very aggressive. This time was all in her liver, bones, and lungs, and it spread all over. And then she stayed with us for 3 years. And then last September, she passed away on September 27th from fluid in her heart.
And she was how old?
31. She got cancer when she was 25.
All right. She got.
So my message is for women of all ages, especially, you know, after 20, even early as whatever. You feel something, get to the doctor and make them give you a mammogram, ultrasound, whatever.
I can't,
you know,
imagine.
It's just, there's no discrimination on age.
I can't imagine. I'm not a mother, but I can't imagine a mother's pain to lose a daughter. End of sentence, end of statement. But then add on to that the ability or the courage that you have to say, I want to do something to help other people, which is wonderful. Would DESA,
yeah, I belong to a foundation called BCRF, and also my state senator here made me our Connecticut state spokesperson, and I'm Desiree's voice down here, and she's God's working angel up there. And the thing that keeps me going is to just try and make awareness for this horrible disease, for younger women, for older women, for men, just all the way around, and to really just advocate for yourself and get those mammograms. And you know, like I said, just it doesn't have an age discrimination. And somebody, look, I did it. I've never got a mammogram until I was in my 40s, to be honest with you. So I was like, what? I didn't even think about it. But it's just so common lately. It's just becoming more and more, you know, where it's really, I mean, it's always has been there, but for some reason, it's just, I have my own theories, and I won't say them because I'm not a doctor, but I definitely have my own theories about why it's just becoming so much, you know, such an epidemic, really.
Environmentally, you think?
No, I can't really say. It's just something that I'd rather not say on the air because I think, sorry, I could say it because this is what I think. I think certain birth controls can. That's just what I believe. But, you know, I'm not saying don't go on birth control. I just think any woman should really do your research before you just take any sort of birth control. Because Desiree's cancer was hormonal, by the way. Nobody in my family had breast cancer ever, so.
Well,
and we were
I understand, and I think that it gives people something to think about. But in addition to that, what I do know is that one thing that can resonate in your message that I'm sure every medical professional, not everyone, but I hope most would agree with, if you think something is wrong, something might be wrong.
Absolutely. And if one doctor turns you away and says, oh, I don't believe that, no, maybe you should just wait, then go to another one. Advocate for yourself, you know, just even in general, like even general medical conditions. Just if you don't like one doctor, and maybe this, go get a second opinion and even a third opinion. Now, this is our body. This is our temple. We have to take care of it.
Well,
and, you know, these young girls in their 20s, they're just running around. You know, I'm not saying all of them, but they're so full of life and this and that. And I really just believe that they should, you know, we should all just really be aware of our bodies. Men too.
Well, Julia Arnaz Massey, it's been a pleasure to get to know you just a little bit via social media and certainly to talk to you on the radio. And I will tell you, those videos of you that you sent me, those mannerisms are, I look at you and I think, oh, Lucille Ball. And there's a reason
for that. Is
that
right?
Yeah.
I've heard that before. I'm a little goofy, like in real life, so I've definitely heard that before, and I take that as a compliment, Steve. So thank you. I mean, I adore my grandmother, my grandfather, and I'm very proud to be a part of their legacy.
Well, I'm proud to know you, and because you're making a difference for others, Julia Arnaz Massey. Thank you so much.
All right, Steve. Have a wonderful Sunday. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless.